Hey, everybody. Well, welcome back to another episode of Summer's Vibes podcast. I thought that this episode was super important today, just because I feel like a lot of people are dealing with this. And I think one of the most important things is that there are a lot of things that we can do to really help us out professionally and personally in our life. And those, to me, those two things kind of intersect. So I have a very special guest on today that I'm very excited to introduce. Her name is Jasmine Escalera. And she is a career coach for women of color, which is even better, really helping us learn how to take charge of our career, learning how to ask for more, and really actually getting it. So, Jasmine, welcome and thank you so much for joining today.
Thank you so much for having me, Mary. I am so excited to chat with you. I know that we had a little pre-call a few weeks ago, and the vibe and the energy was amazing. So I'm really excited to be here.
No doubt, no doubt. I'm excited. So I want to hop into it. And where I kind of first want to start is, just tell us a little bit about you, some of the work that you do, and then we'll get into the nitty-gritty of the questions for sure.
Absolutely. So I am, as you mentioned, a career coach for women of color. And what I really like to do is tackle career building from the perspective of both mindset work and strategy. Very often, when it comes to our careers, we are very strategy focused. What steps do I have to take? What things do I need to do? But what I really recognized with myself as a Latina and with the clients that I coach as women of color, there's a lot of mindset stuff. So we have a lot of things that were passed down to us, a lot of beliefs about how we should act or engage in our career. As women, there are a lot of societal pressures around how we should act or engage in life. And there's just a lot of even cultural things that we are taught about money or, being assertive or speaking up for ourselves. And a lot of that really has to be discussed and tackled and broken down. And we have to build almost our own new thoughts and belief systems and patterns around how we want to engage within our careers in order to not just perform or come in as our most confident self, but to truly believe that and to then think about the strategy and the steps. So I like to approach career coaching from the perspective of who are you? What are those belief systems that you have? How do you want to present yourself in the workplace? What new ways do you need to think about yourself, your work, companies, organizations? And then also complement that with the strategic, tactful things we need to do to grow. So that's how I really like to approach coaching. I do a one-on-one coaching and I do group coaching. And it's just been really exciting and thrilling to support women in the ways that I feel like I didn't necessarily get supported in my career.
One of the things you said that kind of stuck out, and we were talking about this earlier, a couple of weeks ago, but it's that notion of, women having to work twice as hard, right? Because we're told that from a child, like you got to work twice as hard, like you can't make any mistakes, and you almost like have to be perfect. And then on the top of us having to work twice as hard just to prove that we deserve to be in that room or we deserve that position, the other thing is like us always feeling like we have to come in dominant, we have to come in strong. One of the things is, how do we handle that? How do we kind of necessarily start with that mindset? Do we have to work twice as hard? Isn't our work good enough for what we do right now? So I would love to hear your thoughts on that, to, surrounding that need to work twice as hard or that need to come in and be like that dominant figure in that role.
Absolutely. And it's such an interesting concept to think about because, in essence, the reality of this is yes, right? We know that racism, sexism, all of these isms do exist. And of course, that's going to make us come into these environments and feel like we have to work harder to prove ourselves or we have to do more in order to get the same benefits or same promotions or same money as someone else. Or potentially we may not even get there because we know the pay gap is so wide right now. And people getting into leadership positions as people of color, as people from marginalized communities is very low. So there's the reality perspective of it that really can make us feel like, well, I have to do this. I have to do more. I have to try harder. Do I think that that is the case? Not always. I think the other part of it is us understanding our worth and our contribution and standing so heavily in that, that we don't demand, that we basically demand that other people see it as well. So there's also that complement to it where if you are in an organization or a company where you don't feel accepted, where you feel like you have to work more, can you find the places, spaces, people, environment that actually will accept and take you in where you don't have to do that? So I think it's kind of this weird question of it being like, yes, the reality perspective of this is the way that it is in many places. But then how can we be so strong and assured in what we do in our contribution that we demand that we accept nothing less than what we deserve, which is to be able to be an environment where we can be ourselves, bring our whole selves to work, where we're going to be acknowledged, valued, developed, grown, just like everyone else is. So I think there's kind of this interesting balance between the yes and answer to this question. But I do think that there is the reality of, and a lot of organizations, spaces, and environments, this is still a thing.
It is a thing because even like when I work, I'm like, I know that I'm good, right? Like, I know that I'm good. I'm like, I know that. But when I mess up, I feel like everybody sees it, right? And so that one time I make that one mistake, is everyone going to look at that one mistake and say, oh man, she messed up? And so like, it goes back to what you said in the beginning. It's a mindset, right? Like it's you really changing that mindset to know, like, I am valued and I know that I'm doing a good job. I know that I deserve to be here. And it's just like subtle reminders of that. But I always think of that. I'm always like, oh man, that one time I messed up, that's the thing they're going to point out, despite all the great things that I've, all the great things or, some of the accomplishments that I made.
And I think that it's interesting because we can have the mindset of like damn, I messed up, and people are going to point that out, is different from the mindset of, damn, I messed up and people are going to point that out because I'm a Black woman, because I'm a Latina, because I'm, an Asian American. Like, there's a difference between those two things. And so I definitely like to drill in with my clients on, okay, is it perfectionism or is it because you really are in an environment where people are targeting you as a woman of color? Because those are two different things. Those are two different mindsets. Those are two different actual occurrences. So everybody innately has doubts about themselves, fears about, how they're going to be judged or seen. But there's a difference between that and there's, this is happening to me because of who I am.
Okay. Good point. So what I want to move to next is, we talk about like knowing your bargaining power. So understanding what your worth is. This ties into that notion of us working twice as hard. So, what exactly does that mean? And, how can we really use that to our advantage when we're engaging with, our leadership on maybe extra pay? Maybe you want some more vacation time. Maybe you want a promotion. How can we leverage those conversations? What are some things that we should be thinking about when we're talking bargaining power? And how important is that? I would say even now in this climate, knowing that, the industry, the workplace has changed tremendously over the past 2 going on 3 years.
Yeah. So I actually think it's even more important now, especially if you are a remote worker, or if you work virtually, knowing and talking about your value is essential. It was essential before. It was a little bit different because it was a bit easier. And I use quote unquote easier. I know that for women of color, for people from marginalized communities, I'm not even going to say anything is easy, right? But I know that it was easier before contextually because we were in the same environment. But now, if you are working virtually, if you are working remotely, this is essential, right? I do think that people of color, people from marginalized communities, because of virtual work, it puts us even further behind because now we're talking about yet another barrier to overcome to being seen and discussing our worth. The way that you want to do this, there's a few different things that I sort of walk my clients through is you need to know what you're great at, right? You need to know what you are good at doing. And if you don't know what you're great at and what you're good at doing, then you're already in the back. You're already in the back in terms of being able to discuss yourself, right? So you need to know that first. Then what you need to be able to do is you need to be able to advocate for more of that kind of work. So when you work in your strengths, you work in your power. So you will feel more confident. You will project more confidence when you are essentially doing the things that you're great at doing. And people will see that. Now, the other thing you want to do is you want to know the value contribution you make to your team, to your manager, and to your company. You need to get very clear on how is the work that I do every single day providing value to my team, to my manager, and to my company. That's very essential. And if you're not sure how your work is contributing to those goals of your team, of your manager's goals, or of your company, then just ask, have a conversation with your manager where you sit down with them and you say, hey, I'm really curious, like, what are our team goals? Like, and how is the work that I'm putting in really aligned with that? And you do want to make sure that the work that you're doing is really attached to some overall goal for these individuals, because it's essential that what you're doing is important. It's valued and it has value. And you always want to know that. Now, you also want to be having ongoing meetings with your manager and supervisor where you are talking about said value, where you are mentioning the things that you're doing, where you are talking about how the new work that you have contributes to the overall goal. So you always have perspective, but they always have perspective too. Because oftentimes what's happening is we think our manager knows what we're doing or knows our value, but they're just divvying out work because they just have stuff they need to do too. So we have to always be engaging in that conversation and in that flow. And one thing that I tell my clients to do, which is so essential and so valuable, is track your wins, track your accomplishments, and do this on a regular basis. There's a few different reasons why I have my clients do this. Many of my clients are dealing with things like imposter syndrome, self-doubt. But when you're constantly attaching to your value, your contribution, your wins, your accomplishments, it's a great way for you to see what you are doing on a week-to-week or month-to-month basis and be able to give yourself that pat on the back. But it also helps with these conversations you're having with other individuals about your value and your worth. It also helps you track those moments when you get to say, oh, damn, I did something really awesome. I should have a conversation with my boss about a bonus for this. Or, look, my work has changed. I've taken on some new things. Maybe I've taken on a team member. I should have that conversation about getting a pay raise. So being very engaged with your wins and with what you're doing and your own value, how your work is contributing, can trigger so many new conversations about your professional growth, about your money, about promotions, and just in essence, just get you more on the radar of people, especially your boss and supervisor. It makes it so much easier to go into a conversation about money when you've already, for the last 6 months, been preparing them by telling them all the things that you've been doing or having these more high-level conversations about your development. So it's essential that we really take ownership of that part and drive that piece forward. But it starts with knowing what those things are, knowing your own value, knowing your contribution, knowing your wins, knowing your strengths.
Yeah, and really just, yeah, and then like, what's the impact of that? Like you said, following up and knowing the impact. What I want to get into next, because I feel like this is big. Like, I feel like this is big because I feel like this is where a lot of people struggle. Number one, like you said, like tracking those wins, articulating that to your manager, and understanding, you know, the value that you bring. So when that time does come for you to have that conversation about salary increase, whether that's mid-year, end of year, whatever time that you feel like it's appropriate. So, you know, before talking to you, just looking up, you know, some statistics, right? So we know that there is a wage pay gap, like highly aware of that between Black women and also Latino women. Like, we know that. So one of the things that I was just kind of reading, you know, from the national partnership, it says this is like half of the state. So it says out of the 25 states with the largest population of Black women in the workforce working full time, the pay ranged from 48 cents to 68 cents for every dollar paid to the white man. For Latina women, they were compensated 57% of what white men were paid in 2020. So basically they were saying that it took almost an entire year of full-time work to be paid the average earnings. So I just think that, that's all of us. And one of the things that kind of stuck out to me that I thought was very interesting was, I'm only bringing this up because my mom and her family's from Mississippi, but like Mississippi was actually black women and got paid more in Mississippi than they did in Texas, which I thought was really interesting.
That actually is really interesting.
That is the poorest state in the country. So
I was like, they somehow added together in that way.
It's like, okay, you know, but it's like, you know, seeing between Black women and Latino women that compared to, you know, the white man, there's only been a 4% change since 1988 to 2019. 4%. Isn't that insane? It's wild. So I'm like, how do you reckon with that? Like, when we're talking and even in the beginning stages, like when we're negotiating salary, I'm like, I gotta start thinking of that now. Like,
absolutely. Yeah, it's adding the tax. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So I remember just sharing a personal story, and then I will absolutely give all of the tips that I can here because it's so incredibly important. I remember when I was in my career, when I was working, I went to a free salary negotiation workshop here in New York. And the first thing that nearly like made me fall off my chair was she put up those exact same statistics. And then she said, you know, as a Latina, I was going to make $1.5 million less than a white man across my career, just for being me. And I nearly fell off my chair because it was like, I have a PhD from Yale. I did everything my parents told me to do, right? Your parents tell you how important an education is. They tell you so you walk the path. And then here I am. I walked the path. I went the farthest I could possibly go. Mm-hmm. And now, even with all that education, I still won't end up in the same place. So what's the freaking point, right? Like, so that I get frustrated when I even think about it. And I didn't know that there's Women's Equal Pay Day, but there's also Black Women's Equal Pay Day just happened. I think it was last week. Mm-hmm. And Latina Equal Pay Day is coming up. And that's what it represents. It represents the time above the year that you have to work just to be able to make the same amount of money as a white man. So that means that you have to work 9 months more, almost 10 months more. I have to work 10 months more. It's ridiculous. Yeah. To say that this is happening in 2022 is insane. And you're absolutely right. So what you need to think about if you are negotiating pay is you need to think about that exact thing. And what you should be considering is, how do I find out how much money I should actually be making for this position? And so there are different salary websites like payscale.com, salary.com. You have to do the research, and not just when you're looking for a job. I tell my clients to be doing this annually.
Okay.
Because if you stay in a position, the reason why people job hop is because that's how you actually make money now. That's how you actually get pay raises. But just because you are in a job doesn't mean that you should be getting paid less. Mm-hmm. So you have to be doing this annually, at least, right? And not just that, you should be talking to HR. If you're vetting companies to work for, you should be asking how often they do salary compensation reviews. And my biggest tip that I always give everyone is ask a white man. We need white male sponsors, right? Mentorship is great for us all, for women of color, for people from marginalized communities. I always say you should have a mentor. But we need to start really focusing on sponsorship. And sponsorship means having people on the inside who are truly allies and supporters of you who are going to be in the rooms. And unfortunately, we're not often in them, right?
That's right.
That's part of the problem. So we need to be finding these individuals who are in the room, who are in the spaces, who are really true allies, where they are going to be open to talking to us about what people in our fields, in our positions, really make, including white men and white women. Because white women do also have a pay gap, but it ain't as bad as ours. And pay gaps
Okay.
are bad in general. There should not be any. But
Any.
we need to know what people in our roles and in our positions are making. And yeah, you should be adding the tax, right? You should be thinking about, well, if this is the pay range, maybe I should be going 10, 15, $20,000 more. Why the f
Why
not?
not?
Why the F not?
Okay.
Why not? We already know that we're not asking for enough. And that's the thing, too, that I want us to all acknowledge. I grew up extremely poor. So to me, money did not exist. In fact, I was told every single day that there was no money. So when I go into a salary negotiation and someone started to hesitate when I was early in my career, that just brought up all of those no money triggers for me. And so I would back out of like my money. I'd be like, okay, I'll take that, or all right, we'll make this work. So we have to be also very conscientious of where our starting point is when we think about money. And so we really need to work on that as well. So there's a lot of things that go into salary and salary conversations that aren't even strategic. They're also just how do you view money? Are you comfortable talking about money? What happens if someone starts to waver? Do you waver too? How do you stand firm in your money and confidently ask for what you want and not feel like, oh, am I asking for too much? Am I being greedy? Should I just ask for what I need? There's a lot that goes into it. But at the bare minimum, we need to know what other people are making for the positions that we're in.
Yeah, I would have never even thought to do that. Like, of course, like we get on Google and we put, this position at this company is how much salary. Like, of course we do that and we see like that range. But like you said, you can having like sponsorship is key. Like, I would have never thought to do that. Getting someone who actually works for the company and saying like, yeah, like this is what I make. Yada yada. That's like a major key. And I would have never thought to do that. And I would say like, I think, as young people too, I think we're getting better at it. But like also when we come in and we negotiate that initial salary, we're like, okay, X amount of dollars. And then the recruiter comes back and says, I can give you this, right? There's no second negotiation after that. A lot of the times we're like, okay, like that's not exactly what I wanted, but all right, I'll take it. Like, because I know I've done
Absolutely, and
that.
I did it too. Absolutely. I can't say that none of us have, right? We've all done it. And there's no shame or shade. It's just, I think for me, having done that before, it was truly because of my own feelings of safety and security around money and really needing that safety and security because of how I grew up. So even just understanding like how you waver when it comes to a salary negotiation can be really helpful because one of the biggest things I had to do for myself was I had to get comfortable saying numbers out of my mouth that I didn't even think I could make
Oh, yeah.
because no one in my family did. It was only up until, I mean, I helped my mom with her taxes 3 years ago, and I nearly broke down in tears because I was like, wow, my mom makes that little, like it crushed my soul. So, I never would have thought that I would make the amount of money in my career that I did in my late 20s, early 30s. I had to get comfortable with just even being okay making significantly more than my parents. Like, that's a big thing.
It is a big thing. It is. I was just having a conversation with my mom yesterday, and she literally was like, I never made the money that you made. She was like,
Yeah.
never. She was like, and she was like, especially at your age, she was like, I wasn't even making anywhere close near to that. And she was like, so she was like, but you still owe yourself more than even what you're getting now. She was like, you again, right? You went to school, you got your master's, you did
Right.
this, you know what I'm saying? She was like, so, I'm like, yeah, it's not always about that. But the point is like you said, our parents have never made that much, right? And so I just think that we're just in a very unique, environment, like with technology, like the way that we are going now, like you said, there's no reason in 2022 why we should still have this huge pay gap. And I feel like all pay should be equal, but there are little small incremental gains here and there. But like you said, just a couple of these things would really make a difference in how we negotiate our salary, how we get what we want, and how to kind of stand firm in that. So I'm a big advocate for it. I gotta practice practice with some of the things that you said, and I would hope that that makes a difference. One of the other things that I wanted to talk about, just kind of one of the last things I wanted to talk about, is switching gears from, negotiating our salary, knowing our bargaining power, all that we've spoken about. But when we're in that job, right, and we've given our all, we have, have had these accomplishments that's really benefited, the company, maybe whatever you're doing specifically in that industry, and then also like yourself, right? Like you feel like you've done what you're supposed to do. So how do you say, when do you know when it's time to leave a job? If you take out, when do you know that you've outgrown that, either that position or that company? Like what are some way, like how do you know when it's time, I guess? Like simple.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'm gonna have a foo-foo answer because, I'm very mindset centric. I'm very much connected to just listening to yourself, right? So I think we always know when it's time to go. I think we always know when it's time to bounce. We just don't listen to that internal voice or that internal feeling. And there is a multitude of reasons why. It is hella scary to go to the other side and to say, this isn't for me. Now I have to figure out what is. This isn't for me. I'm not being treated well. Now I have to find the right company that's going to treat me well. This isn't for me. Now I have to go into the job search, which we all know is a roller coaster ride. So I think there are a lot of reasons, which are all valid reasons, for why we don't listen to ourselves when we know we are not in positions that we should not be in. And so I would answer that question firstly by you always know. And if you are connected to yourself and allow yourself to go to that place, you will know. Like it just, I remember every single position that I was in, I knew it wasn't even sometimes from day one, I knew it wasn't the one for me.
Facts.
Like I remember starting a job and on the first day I was like, oh yeah, I'm leaving this. Like this isn't gonna work at all.
No doubt.
Yeah, so there, I truly believe that you always have that knowledge, but there's a lot of fear and complexities and uncertainties and doubts that cloud you listening to you. Now, I think there are also so many signs, and some of them are my organization doesn't truly value me. They're not giving me opportunities to grow. They're not giving me the promotions and the pay raises, even though I'm asking for it. I'm being mistreated. Of course, we know that microaggressions, gaslighting, straight up racism even exists in the workplace. So there is that component of I'm being abused or mistreated or harassed. There's also like more subtle things. Like we know quiet firing is a thing now where companies don't even want to have the conversation with you about letting you go. They just want to start taking responsibilities from you or icing you out of meetings or making it really complicated for you to do your job or having no communication or having no connection to your supervisor. So you're kind of floating around. You're not sure what to do. You're not getting any constructive criticism. So there's a multitude of different reasons why it is perfectly okay and valid for you to say, this isn't working for me and it's time for me to go. I think the number one thing is always connect to yourself and to be okay stepping into the fear space a little bit, because it is really scary to acknowledge this isn't working and now I have to do something about it. And that is, I think, the place that can be really scary to go to is the have to do something about it. Because a lot of times it's reflection. It's what do I now want? Where do I want to go? What does value mean to me? What am I seeking? What am I searching for? Do I want to change? What does that mean? It's a lot of stuff that comes after that. And I think that's the reason why we oftentimes stay in spaces. We all know that term, the devil I know. We oftentimes stay in places or situations because it is really scary to move into the other space. And I like to urge you to just play with the other space because it is better out there. And if you just allow yourself to find that, to connect to that, you can seek it out.
No, that, yeah, I will say when I quit my job, it was the best thing I could have done, but it was the scariest thing too at the time. Like I was like, okay, like I don't know if this is the best decision, but as we close out, I just wanted to tell you thank you so much for coming on and giving a few tips, strategies, being like even tactical about how we approach some things when it comes to our professional development. And I would say like I really enjoyed you tying the mindset into how you carry out other things when it comes to your professional development, and also the sponsorship thing. Like those were huge for me, and so I just wanted to say I appreciate it, and I hope that the people listening, I hope that you all listen, I hope you all took some things from it too. The last thing I want to say, I want to give you the last word if you want to inform people how they can get in contact with you, but I want to give you the last word for sure.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much again, Mary, for having me on. This is absolutely wonderful. It was a great chat. The last words that I will say before just telling you how you can reach out to me, or the last word I will say is, one of the things that we sometimes forget is like our careers are for us to direct. We get to decide where we are. We get to decide who we are. We get to decide the jobs. Like we are the directors of it. So just be conscientious of what you want and always, always lead with that. And then if you have any questions or you're interested in working with me or learning more about me, you can find me on LinkedIn at Jasmine Escalera. And you can also find me on Instagram at Jasmine Escalera Coaching.
Alrighty, well, you all heard it. Thank you so much for joining. I appreciate it.